I will say nothing, Shiny said softly, if you let her go. I caught my breath. Tavril was silent for a moment. No, my greatest concern hasn't changed. She's too dangerous to leave unprotected. It would be safer to kill her, which would erase Shiny's leverage, besides ending my life. It was a game of Nakim, feint against feint, each trying to outplay the other. Except I had never paid attention to such games, because I could not see them, so I had no idea what happened if there was a draw. I definitely didn't like being the prize. She was safe until the Order began to harass her, Shiny said. Anonymity has protected her bloodline for centuries, even from the gods. Give that to her again, and all will be as it was. Shiny paused. You still have the demon blood you took from the House of the Risen Sun before you destroyed it. He took... I blurted, then caught myself. But my hands clenched. Of course, they would never have let such a valuable resource go to waste. My blood, Date's blood, the arrowheads. Perhaps they had even learned Date's refining method. The Aramiri had their weapon, with or without me. Damn them. Shiny was right, though. If the Lord Aramiri had that, then he didn't need me. Tavril rose from his chair. He descended the steps and walked past the guards, moving to stand at one of the long windows. I saw him pause there, gazing out at the world that he owned, and at the black sun, warning sign of the gods who threatened it. He clasped his hands behind his back. Make her anonymous, you say, he said, and sighed. At that sigh, my heart made an uneasy leap of hope. Very well. I'm willing to consider it. But how? Shall I kill anyone in the city who knows her? As you say, that would require more deaths than is practical. I shuddered. Veroy and the others from Art Row? My landlord, the old woman across the street who gossiped to the neighbors about the blind girl and her godling boyfriend? Ramaran, the priests of the White Hall? A dozen nameless servants and guards, including the one standing here listening to all this? No, I blurted. I'll leave Shadow. I was going to do it anyway. I'll go somewhere no one knows me, never talk to anyone, just don't... Kill her, Shiny said. I flinched and stared at his profile. He glanced at me. If she is dead, her secrets no longer matter. No one will look for her. No one can use her. I understood then, though the idea made me shiver. Tavril turned to look at us over his shoulder. A false death? Interesting. He thought for a moment. It would have to be thorough. She could never speak to her friends again, or even her mother. She could no longer be Ori Shoth at all. I can arrange for her to be sent elsewhere, with resources and a concocted past. Perhaps even hold a magnificent funeral for the brave woman who gave her life to expose a plot against the gods. He glanced at me. But if my spies hear any rumor, any hint of your survival, then the game ends, Eru Shoth. I will do whatever is necessary to prevent you from falling into the wrong hands again. Is that understood? I stared at him and at Shiny, and then at myself, at the body that I could see, as a shadowy outline against the constant glow of sky's light, breasts gently rolling, hands fascinatingly complex as I lifted them, turned them, flexed the fingers, the tips of my feet, a spiraling curl of hair at the edge of my vision. I had never seen myself so completely before. To die, even this false way, would be terrible. My friends would mourn me. I would mourn even more the life I'd already lost. My poor mother, first my father and now this. But it was the magic, the strangeness of shadow, all the beautiful and frightening things that I had learned and experienced and seen that would hurt most to leave behind. I had once wanted to die. This would be worse. But if I did it, I would be free. I must have stayed silent too long. Shiny turned to me, his heavy gaze more compassionate than I had ever imagined it could be. He understood. Of course he did. It was a hard thing sometimes to live. I understand, I said to the Lord Aramiri. He nodded. Then it shall be done. Remain here another day. That should be sufficient time for me to make the arrangements. He turned back to the window. Another wordless dismissal. I stood there unmoving, hardly daring to believe it. I was free. Free, like old times. Shiny turned to leave, then turned back to me, radiating irritation at my failure to follow, like old times. Except that he had fought for me, and won. I trotted after him and took his arm, and if it bothered him that I pressed my face against his shoulder as we walked back to my room, he did not complain.